Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the positive ministry of the Holy Spirit was recorded at our 2011 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
Let's turn back over to John chapter 16. In case anyone was not here last night, I started ministering on the positive ministry of the Holy Spirit. And last night, I basically took four times that Jesus said in John 14, 15, and 16 that the Comforter would come. And I was talking about that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to build us up and encourage us and comfort us. I put that together with 1 John chapter 3, verse 19, where it says we have to assure our heart. And I was talking about that you just... We are fallen human beings, and even though our spirit has been born again, all of our flesh, our minds have been corrupted by wrong thinking and a fallen human nature. Now that nature is gone, but it left behind an unrenewed mind, and it is just natural for us to experience doubt and to have negative feelings and things like this, and some people haven't figured all of this out. And so because they don't feel the love of God, they think that God doesn't love them, and they pray and ask God to change their feelings. You need to get beyond that level and just get to a place to where you take the Word of God and what it says is true. And if you don't feel right, well, then you change your feelings. You encourage yourself in the Lord. And this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to encourage us and to comfort us and to build us up. I also use Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. God is never condemning you. This feeling of failure, this feeling of disapproval is never from God. God is not angry with you. Isaiah chapter 54, which if you are very good at math, Isaiah 54 follows Isaiah 53, which is the great chapter of Jesus becoming sin for us. And he bore our sorrows and carried our griefs. By his stripes we're healed. And it just talks about he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And he did all of this. And then Isaiah chapter 54, it starts telling us the benefits of this. That those who were barren and unproductive can now sing and rejoice, because you are going to be more fruitful than the married wife. You are going to be blessed. Your children will be taught of the Lord. And one of the benefits, it says that this covenant of my peace will never depart from you. I will never be angry with you nor rebuke you, says the Lord. Man, what a powerful thing. And yet the average Christian is constantly living as, oh, God has really been on my case. God has been showing me how I've messed up, and I just... You know, the Lord has disapproved with me. And this is the average Christian's experience, when the Bible says that God is never wroth with you, nor will he ever rebuke you. And he likened it to the covenant that he made with Noah. He says, this is as the covenant, as the waters of Noah. For as I have sworn that I would never again destroy the earth with the flood, so have I sworn that I would never again be wroth with you, nor rebuke you. The significance of that is there's different types of covenants. But the covenant that he made with Noah was an unconditional covenant. He didn't say, now, if the world never provokes me again, if they never get back to living in sin, if they never reach this degree of corruption again, then I won't destroy the earth. No, he made an unconditional covenant. He says, regardless of what the world does, I will never destroy the earth with a flood again. And he says, this is that type of covenant. In the same way as I've sworn unconditionally that I'll never destroy the earth with a flood, so have I sworn unconditionally that he would never be angry nor rebuke a single person who becomes a part of this new covenant. God is never angry at you. He never rebukes you. And yet, the average Christian, that is not their experience. I bet you every person in here has heard somebody stand up in front of church and say, oh, I was doing something and the Holy Ghost just wouldn't give me any rest. The Holy Ghost was just on me, and man, I was so convicted and I was so miserable. And we blame the Holy Spirit for that. I bet you every person in here has prayed for someone else and said, get them, Holy Spirit. Just make them miserable. Man, I bet you've prayed that way. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not the one who's the afflicter. He's the comforter. Somebody said, well, doesn't he convict us over sin? I'm glad you asked. Look at this in chapter 16. John chapter 16. And let's go back and read a verse that I read last night. In verse 7, Jesus is speaking. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. The word expedient means it's better for you. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And verse 8 says, and when he is come, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And people say, well, see, this right here says that the Holy Ghost does reprove you of sin. And so everything that you just said about him not being angry with you, nor rebuking you, and not feeling displeasure or condemnation, this just totally violates all of that. You know, the Lord knew that we were fallen and that people would misinterpret this, so he explained it in the next verse. It's amazing how we just quit reading right there. Look at the next verse. In verse 9, here it is, of sin. He listed three areas. The Lord would reprove the world, the Holy Ghost would reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And here it is in verse 9, of sin because they believe not on me. The Holy Spirit convicts of one sin, not sins, plural. The Holy Spirit convicts of one thing, and that is the sin of not believing on Jesus. That's it. People who aren't born again, it's not about whether you're drinking, whether you're carousing, whether you lie, whether you steal. You know, the only thing that sends a person to hell is the sin of rejecting Jesus. The sins of the entire world have been paid for. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. It says that Jesus is the propitiation. The word propitiation means atoning sacrifice or payment for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus didn't just die for the sins of believers who he knew would accept him. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. The sins of every person that have ever breathed on the face of the earth are paid for. The sins that haven't even been committed yet are paid for. Some of you think, oh, that can't be. How could God forgive a sin before you commit it? You better hope that he can, because he only died for your sins one time 2,000 years ago. If he can't forgive sins before you commit them, you can't be forgiven. Jesus wiped out sin. The only sin that will send any person to hell is not homosexuality, adultery. It's the sin of not accepting Jesus. And that's all that the Holy Spirit does. He brings everybody back to, what are you doing with Jesus? That's what it's all about. Now, if a person says, but I don't need Jesus, I'm holy enough, I'm good enough, well, then the Holy Spirit will say, you think this is good enough? What about this adultery in your life? What about this lying? I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit's not aware of our actions, but it's not the adultery, it's not the lying, it's not the stealing. Those things have been paid for. He may try and reveal a person's need for God, for Jesus, through revealing to them the way that they've come short of the standard. But really, those sins have been paid for. The issue is just whether or not you have made Jesus your Lord. And that's all it's about. And I believe that this is one area that the church has misrepresented God in, is the fact that they're sitting there harping on, have you done this and this and this, when the issue is just, have you made Jesus your Lord? Have you committed your life to Jesus? And somebody says, well, I believe you're supposed to live holy. Well, I believe you are too, but I believe holiness comes as a byproduct of relationship with God, not a way to relationship with God. If a person truly encounters God and makes Jesus their Lord, God will change their life. The church is trying to clean the fish before you catch them. You catch them, and then have a byproduct of relationship with God is when they start living a holy life. And so the Holy Spirit really just reveals and deals with this one sin of not believing on Jesus. And then after you get born again, after you're born again, did you know the Holy Spirit still does the same thing? For a Christian, all of your sins, past, present, and even sins that you haven't committed yet, have already been forgiven. I could spend well over an hour teaching on that from Hebrews chapter 10, chapter 9, verse 12, 15, all of the rest of the 9th chapter, and then in the 10th chapter, verse 10 and 14, and Hebrews 12, 23. All of those verses talk about you've been sanctified and perfected forever by one offering. Every time you sin, you do not lose your relationship with God. That sin is not a new transgression that hasn't been dealt with, and you got to get it under the blood before God can fellowship with you or answer your prayer. That's basically the mindset that most people have, and because of this, it keeps you continually sin conscious. It keeps you in a constant state of condemnation because you think that, I'm failing and coming short of God. And even though you might be able to get over committing adultery and being a drunk or an alcoholic, things like this, did you know what? You are still going to fall short every day of your life. You're going to fail to love your mate the way that you should. You're going to fail to read and study the Word as much as you should, to pray in tongues as much as you should. And as long as you feel that you've got to be doing all of these things and have everything in your life dealt with before you can have boldness and confidence in your relationship with God, you are never going to be bold and confident. You're always going to be coming short. And this is where the vast majority of Christians live, in a constant state of unworthiness and failure. Maybe you aren't as bad as you used to be, but you're still pressing towards a goal and you haven't attained it yet. And until you get there, you just don't have any boldness and confidence. That is not the right attitude in the Christian life. And the Holy Spirit is sent to build you up and encourage you that God has already dealt with everything.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the positive ministry of the Holy Spirit. This updated 5-part teaching series was recorded at our 2011 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1020 for CD or R3214 for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RH4 titled The Sin of Unbelief when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I'd like to thank all of the partners of Andrew Womack Ministries for making this radio program available. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be able to broadcast on radio and on television. And if you aren't a partner with us, I'd like to ask you to pray about becoming a partner. We spend around $1 million a month on radio and television airtime, and we give our materials away. It's not covered in just the cost of the things that we give away. If it wasn't for partners who gave over and above what it cost to put the gospel out to you, we could not continue this ministry. So if the Lord has blessed you and you would like to see other people blessed through this ministry, I'd like to encourage you to pray about it and then call us at 719-635-1111 and become a partner today.